With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Susanna Constantine, and this is My Wardrobe Malfunction with a Difference, the place where I talk to a special guest each week about their relationship with clothes. When lockdown began, we did a load of Zoom video episodes and posted them at mywardmal.com. And now, finally, we're loading them onto our podcast feed. The sound quality is a bit, well, zoomy in places, but we're getting our act together on that front and promise it gets much better in later episodes. Oh, and we're still doing our pyjama party section, of course, the part where you tell me all about your clothing calamities. At the moment, it's on our website, but hopefully back here soon. So please keep your stories coming by emailing help@mywardmal.com. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and review us effusively. And finally, make sure you follow us at mywardmal on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Right, on to the third of our new episodes. Recorded in April 2020, it's with actor, author, and all-round legend, Michael Simpkins. I'd never met him before, but he was an absolute joy. So let's grab the handles, open my wardrobe doors, and find out what's inside. Michael Simpkins, actor, legend, stage and screen, everything from EastEnders to The Crown. So lovely to see you. But actually, I can't see you properly. Can you put your screen down a bit?
My pleasure, Susanna. Hold your breath. Here we go.
What?
Oh, yes.
You're in black tie.
Black tie, full. I've even got my trousers on in case you think I'm in my boxer.
Stand up, quickly, stand up. Let's see. Oh, my good. And braces. And you've got braces.
There we are.
Okay, I feel very honoured to be doing an interview with someone who is dressed up in black tie.
It's the least you deserve, Susanna, the least you deserve.
So on a day-to-day basis, what is your comfort blanket? Is there any item or thing that you literally feel like your left leg has been chopped off if it's not with you?
Well, when I was a kid, I grew up in a sweet shop in Brighton.
Did you really? You're a Brighton boy. Okay.
I am a Brighton boy, yeah. And I'm a Brighton sweet shop boy, which is even better. So I had what was, by all intents and purposes, an idyllic childhood. And my mum and dad were so busy working in the shop, they couldn't really look after me. So apart from the fact I had free access to sweets in as much quantity as I could stuff down my throat, I was rather left to my own devices. But my mum bought me one item, which I wore for virtually the whole of my childhood. I've got a photo of it. I don't know how she acquired this name, because I've never heard any other person on the planet ever use this name to describe anything, but she called it my tropel. And I'm going to show you a photo of me in it now. That's my tropel, which we would call a gilet. It's okay. A sort of quilted little coat that, as you can see from this early cricket shot of me in some sodden park on the outskirts of Brighton. And I wore this little padded thing that my mum always said, make sure, Mikey, you put your tropel on. And therefore, all my life, I've been trying to find an article that would give me the same comfort. And every time I wore it, I knew I would be all right. And of course, then Uniqlo happened, and we all suddenly went a bit sort of far east in our sort of in our clothes preferences. And this is now my version of my mum's old tropel.
What colour was the original tropel?
Before it became mud-stained and caked with bits of nut brittle and lemon sherbet mushrooms,
yeah,
and fried peppermint cream, you could have fed a family of four on my tropel. But in the early days, it was a sort of rather fetching turquoise colour. But needless to say, that didn't last very long. It really was the most awful, grubby article, but I loved it. So this is what I wear now. As you know, with all this sort of modern fashion garment, I can just stuff it in a suitcase. It keeps me warm when it's cold. It keeps me cool when it's hot. It weighs nothing. I feel very sophisticated wearing it, and I love it. And
this is I'm so with you. We every member of my family has one of those modern day tropels.
Well done.
All of us. We all have them. I love them, and they're good value for what they are. But I don't think you should wear black. I'm a bit concerned that you're, because you've got amazing blue eyes, which would have really stood out in your turquoise tropel, but I'm not sure black is a good colour for you.
What colour would you recommend? I'm just writing
it
down.
I would say you're kind of like a summer, so these slightly brighter colours. Are you writing this down?
Green is very good for me, I'm told, because of my eyes.
Are your eyes green, or come a bit closer, I can't see. Oh, you've got kind of greeny, you've got very, very strong coloured sort of turquoise eyes. People who suit black generally have olive skins, but it's also about, if you've got blue eyes, it's about having the dark rim around your iris, which you don't have. I don't have either. So black washes you out. But anyway, you still love your tropel, your black tropel.
I'm just going to get a different coloured tropel.
Yeah, okay. Well, I might get you a tropel from Unigo. I've probably got one lurking about somewhere downstairs.
I'd love a tropel by you from Unigo.
Yes, I'll get you a tropel. Okay, so that's your comfort blanket. And then, okay, so next, what about an outfit you'd wear on really special occasions? It's your go-to outfit. I'm assuming it's what you're wearing.
I'm wearing my go-to outfit.
Okay.
This is my go-to outfit. Now, the reason is that one of the things about being a jobbing actor is that you are always wearing stuff from Oxfam and Cancer Research and All Aboard. And most of my clothes are either secondhand or they're from the House of Millet.
I know the House of Millet. House of Millet. Very well, yeah.
So it's very, very rare that the only time that most jobbing actors get a really decent outfit is when it's made for them or bought for them for a show and they're able to buy it afterwards.
So that must be period dramas like The Crown.
Well, yeah, the trouble with period dramas is, of course, it looks absolute shite when you wear it in the street. You know, buckled shoes and leggings are lovely in a 17th century drama. You don't want to try them down West Hampstead High Street. No. So, therefore, and the other thing is that because in my career I played a lot of what were called rather stolid types, like unsuspecting husbands and people who wear socks with sandals and do a lot of gardening. And it means that even if I can buy the items after the show is over, I usually don't want them. Terrible dad in them.
Yeah.
So, then we come to Stephen Sondheim's Company, not the recent production in the West End, but the one before that, that was directed by Sam Mendes and starred Adrian Lester and Sophie Thompson, mm-hmm. and the lovely late Sheila Gish. And I'm playing Paul, the Jewish groom who has to sing Getting Married Today. And mm-hmm. Mark Thompson is the designer, who's the most wonderful, fashionable, hip designer. And he buys me this. They make me this tux. You can see a clip of me with Sophie Thompson with me wearing my tux. Then, when I had to get married for real, I wore it for my wedding day, which was nearly 15 years later.
Okay, lift the photo up a bit. Oh, how long ago was that?
That was in 2001. So that's to my wife, Julia Deakin, who's just slipped a cup of tea. And that's good. After that, I've also worn it every time I have to feel special. And the best thing about it all is that I can still get into it. How about
that? That's what I was going to say. That's amazing. And you know why it is particularly beautiful, I think, that tux, is because it's just got one button. And you don't have a little gut growing. So you're okay. You look like you're very fit and slim. But for men who do have a bit of a gut, one button is the best. It is beautiful. It's beautiful, and I love the cowl lapel. So it's just a smooth lapel that goes around you. And do you tie your own bow tie?
No, I'm going to name drop a bit here now. The person who taught me to tie my own bow tie was John Malkovich. I did a play with him in the West End. I couldn't tie my own bow tie. He said, I think you need to tie your own bow tie. I don't think you should have a pre-tied one. So I'm going to help you to learn how to tie it. And he did. And I can tie my own bow tie. But sadly, I couldn't do it today because I was late coming up to start the interview. But normally, I tie my own bow tie.
Okay, good. Class.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, good. Well, that is... You know, that, I mean, it's just so lovely to put something on that has such a wonderful association with you getting married. It still fits. It's beautifully made. Mm-hmm. So I can completely understand why you love that so much.
And it was fashioned by one of Britain's top theatre designers. You know, that was the lovely thing about it. And of course, I wore it at probably one of the happiest times of my life. You know, the Sam Mendes Company was a stupendously successful production. We just had 9 months of dream time, and the outfit's got a lot of happy memories.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so I can't imagine that you had any wardrobe malfunction in that. But have you had a wardrobe malfunction?
Well, I was trying to think about this, and one afternoon during the run of Company, this is entirely coincidental. This is not a Company-themed interview from my part, but it just so happens. So you get into the run of Company, and we must have done about perhaps 110 shows at the Don Meyer. Then we went to the West End, and we did about another 140. So you get into this thing where you're coming in, and you're knocking them off, and you're doing your best, but it's all becoming, it's all muscle memory. So you come off stage and you know how long you've got and you're not thinking about it and you have to get into your next outfit and then you go back on stage for your next scene and it's a Thursday afternoon and it's all fine and we were Christmas shopping and it was all very exciting and the BBC were going to film it in a few weeks. So it was all la 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 la. So I have, it's actually the scene in which I wear this tux. I start the scene by coming on in only this shirt and my boxer shorts.
Okay.
Okay, and it's the start of our marriage day, and I come on and I say, Amy, we're finally getting married. And then I run off, okay? And then I change into the whole tux. That's what I do. So we come off after the previous scene. I take this off, my boxer shorts, my white shirt, all that's lovely. Just so I've got my boxer shorts, my white shirt, and a pair of socks. That's all I've got on. And we go through the pass door into the wings for the scene. And Sophie Thompson, who's just ahead of me, just turns around and her face drops and she says, Simo, which is what a lot of people call me. She said, Simo, that scene is not this one. It's the one after this one. And I suddenly realized that with a big number, with the whole company, which I'd somehow forgotten in my head that we still had to do, all I had was a white shirt and boxers. Well, I don't know how I did it. I had about 40 seconds. I ran back into the dressing room. I got into my trousers. I could hear my cue coming. I made it on stage. But I tell you, Susanna, I looked like Wilfred Bramble in Stepmother and Son.
That is amazing. Oh,
my shirt was buttoned up the wrong way. My trousers were halfway down my leg. I had my shoes on. This was supposed to be a sophisticated... Oh. So it was a terrible moment and made worse by the fact that, as you'll know yourself from your experience in showbiz, the rest of the cast could barely keep a straight face because I looked such a shock.
And they dined off it for the rest of the the run, I'm sure, constantly. Oh, if something like that happened when you're in front of a live audience, and so I imagine you're standing in the wings, ready to go on. You probably got to the stage where, like you say, muscle memory, and your tongue has muscle memory, and you go out. But something like that must throw you so much. How did you pick it up?
I don't think I did, to be honest. Okay. I think I played shambles of it. And, you know, I mean, wardrobe malfunctions in theatre are obviously infamous because they happen all the time. Wow. Because I remember once doing an Akebourne play, simple thing, sat down in my pair of slacks and my little tootle shirt doing an Akebourne play round a kitchen table, a garden table, one of these little patio sets. My belt, the back of my belt got caught on the wrought iron of this chair. So when I had to get up, I was dragging this garden chair around by my arm.
That is perfection. Okay, that is perfection.
All the time. They happen all the time out of the blue. So you get very adept at being able to busk it.
Yeah. So you must have seen, Michael, quite a lot of other clothing catastrophes and malfunctions.
Yeah, I mean, actually, one just comes to mind for myself, which I hadn't mentioned many years ago. I played Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz at the Connaught Theatre, Worthing. And I don't know who made the Cowardly Lion costume, but I think somewhere in Worthing there was a Ford Escort without any seat covers, because it was the most awful thing made out of fun fur. I was doing two shows a day in this thing. I was sweating so much that I think by the end of the run, I was the only case of trench foot in the southeast since the end of the First World War. And at the end of the run, we had to take this thing out with tongs. It stank. some outfits are just not made for the purpose. And of course, there's always, I remember seeing once a very elegant 16th century, I think it was a Jacobean tragedy at the Lyric Hammersmith. My friend Geraldine Fitzgerald is an actress of some note. She came on. In full Jacobean regalia, but she had her pink, bright pink fluffy coat hanger still attached to the back of her outfit. And she couldn't realise why she just kept getting waves of laughter every church she turned upstage. And I have to say, when she did realise it, she took the thing and flung it into the audience in a temper where it nearly put somebody's eye out.
So have you discovered like a sort of wardrobe discovery, anything in your wardrobe that's been hiding away that you rediscovered and now wear a lot?
Some people who know me will know that one of my great loves in life is cricket.
Okay, me too, by the way. I used to write about cricket in the Telegraph.
Did you?
Yeah, I toured with the Pakistani cricket team around Australia.
Which tour?
When Imran was Khan was captain, and it was Mushtaq and Steve Akram, all that lot. Salim Malik.
What was it like?
It was amazing. I was like the kind of surrogate mother, because they were all so young at that time. You know, Mushtaq was only 18, but it was amazing. But anyway, yeah, so cricket is your first love.
Yeah, cricket is my first love. Mushtaq's one of my great heroes. So I've always played cricket at a very, very low level. But I've really enjoyed it. I've made a bit of money from writing about it, like you. And my mum, Peggy, who's now long since dead, about 2004 she died. But, you know, Peggy was just a little Cheltenham woman who, you know, she's just a shopkeeper's wife. Lovely, salt-of-the-earth woman. Lovely, do anything for you. She was a terrible knitter, but she once knitted me a cricket sweater. And it was very precious. Because it's the only garment I've got that my mum ever knitted. You know, she couldn't have done a proper sweater, but she made this terrible old cricket sweater, which I loved. And then she died. And not long after that, as you do, you're fielding in some distant ground in the middle of nowhere, and it's a hot day, and you leave your sweater by the boundary rope when you're fielding because it's getting too hot, and you think I'll pick it up at the end of the match. And of course I didn't. And we went off and I lost it. Somebody took it. Yeah. So it wasn't the end of the earth, but it was a dear garment to me. And I cursed my fate for having been so tardy as to leave it on the boundary road. 3 years ago, I'm playing a match with my team, and Tom Morris is playing, who is artistic director of the Bristol Old Vic. He's the brother of Chris Morris. And he also was one of the innovators of Warhorse. It was his project.
Okay. Wow.
And Tom's a great mate of mine, but I don't see him much now because he's down at Bristol running the Old Vic. And we were getting changed, and he put on this cricket sweater in the changing room. I said, "That's my mum's cricket sweater." He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "That's my mum's cricket sweater you're putting on." He said, "Oh, I found it by the side of a ground about 5 years ago." He said, I wondered who it was. So I made a few inquiries, so I put it on. So I've got it here.
You've got it.
I got it back. Tom Morris had been wearing it for 5 years, but we'd never played in the same team. So this is my mum's.
Oh, my goodness. That looks like a much loved piece of kit.
She even managed a bit of cable knit. I mean, how the hell?
I mean, that's amazing.
Not bad, is it?
I don't think she's a terrible knitter. That's extraordinary. A lovely, lovely thing to have.
So it's lovely. So I'm reunited with the one thing my mum ever made for me, and I'll probably be buried in it when my time in showbiz is done.
Quite right. Michael, you have made this day a gloriously happy day. Thank you so much. I've loved talking to you, and I hope we get to meet sometime.
I hope so too, and I hope that when we do, we'll both be wearing our triples.
Exactly. All right, you take care, and thank you so, so much.
It's been a pleasure, Susanna. Thank
you. All right, lots of love.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.